A62. Number 27A.
This morning, together with the class, thinking what should be the next year's assignment, instead of just rattling off the points that I feel we should study for the year, I think it's perhaps nicer if we can discuss it so that as far as possible the student knows really what his work should be. A general remark, perhaps maybe this, that we have seen through these two syllabus classes up to now, that we have run into a difficulty, which is the following one, that perhaps this assignment, though we try to word them as exactly and clearly as possible, we're always a bit matter of questioning, what does it really mean, what should I really do, what is really demanded of me. And so after a year when we met, it seemed that the student may not have quite prepared himself the way he was expected to be prepared. And so we usually had to spend most of the seminar or the syllabus class on putting things straight and doing these exercises over and over, which in a way I think is right. It seems that the syllabus class for this year, which we have discussed, would be now just ready to be thought over for the next year, to go over it, and now knowing what to do, how to do the exercises. Wouldn't you feel that way, perhaps right now? That now you feel, now I know really what I should have done last year, something like that. And this is all right. This is quite all right. Don't feel that I have expected more. One always likes to expect more of oneself and of others. One is also hard towards oneself. One always would like to do more than what one does. But I think we did a very good job this week, and it has clarified a lot. And therefore, I think we should perhaps organize the next year's work by saying that perhaps the first half year should be devoted to go over what we have been doing. Now you would know how to do the exercises, what you can study, how to study syllabus 2. And therefore, it may be a good thing if you feel, I don't have to start right in with something terrifically new, or at least parallel to what you prepare for next year, you feel I can recap and go over and exercise and drill myself in the divine system. Wouldn't you feel that you would need perhaps half an hour to do, half a year? That's a good one. To do that, yes. Which would really mean that perhaps we will put on our assignment again all those exercises in B1, B2, B3, B4. We are now very good. We just can say B1, B2, B3, B4, and everybody knows what it is. This is terrific. Yes. Therefore, going over those exercises, and I think you know now what is meant by it, and by doing that, naturally, do it through A1, A2, A3, A4. Yes. Is that good? Hmm? Would you feel happy, or would you feel, oh, let's get on with the job?
No.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because we can't get the too good foundation in the synonym. And you will see that if one has a feel of the synonyms, a touch of the synonym, which is definite, one is afterwards very safe. It's so easy afterwards to go to the, say, to the four orders or to the levels and things like that, because we know now our numerals, we know what we are talking about when we are spelling out the synonymous term. All right. So, is there any question about that technical question? You would feel that you would know now how to sit down in the quietude, in an easy chair, very comfortable, and just to ponder reality in a scientific way. Actually, it is so that this is typical what any artist would do in doing his finger exercises. They are, for the most part, really not directed to a specific purpose, to a specific problem. There are these exercises, as we have done them, are actually there only for culturing our consciousness without having a specific problem in view. But the point, naturally, is that this is the most important thing to do. So often people, especially people who come new to our way of study, they always say, you don't say so much about healing, you don't talk about healing. Why don't you talk about healing? And so I usually say, oh, are you interested in healing? They usually say yes. And I say, all right, then you are apparently interested in being sick. Yes? You can only heal sick people. Isn't that so? See? And I think that whole atmosphere which always says, what about healing, is animal magnetism. Because it's asking that we all are sick and that all we all have accident, lose our money and lose our jobs and I don't know what, so that we can demonstrate Christian science. And I don't like it. Other people may like that, but I don't like it. I prefer not to be sick. Which means our demonstration is really to see that we are in good shape, in health, which means that our consciousness is healthy. And we have seen that if we consider what is health through the seven synonymous term, as we have done, then we are really giving us that standard of health and wholeness which cannot get sick, which cannot lose anything that is important for our being, that therefore we are not subject to lack, to accidents, to sickness, and things like that. So actually we are talking much more about healing than they think, because we are constantly talking about the preventive art of Christian science. And this is much more important. So, in doing these exercises, though they are not directed specifically to a case of healing or demonstrating over an error, they are actually of a much bigger purpose, namely to form a consciousness that is not subject to the attack of animal magnetism, to the attack of evil, and therefore is whole. Yes. Okay. Is that clear? And we would already have one point to to do for next year. Yes. Furthermore, we have done the David story. After B1 to 4, we went over to the David story. Now, would you feel you would like now, with the new concept of what we have gained in contemplating the Bible, that you would like to go over that David story anew, with a fresh sense of how to tackle that text? Yeah? Did you like that story? Yeah? Did you feel it's your story? Yeah? All right, then let's say that we could, that you could investigate that subject deeper. How? I don't know now how to explain it, but from what we have been discussing, perhaps you have seen the procedure of what you have to do. How can I perhaps summarize that procedure? I tried, I haven't written it out, but I just go along the logical sequence. What one usually does, if one is so fortunate as we are, that John Dolley has already given the layout of that whole Samuel story, that one goes to John Dolley's interpretation of the text and reads his verbatim reports in regard to seeing first and foremost, I would say, those seven great periods that run through the David story. We always go from the top, from down through the levels. We know now this story is telling us that great story of how an apparently barren consciousness, it's only apparently barren, how that through a right application of the divine order, how that can become fruitful, that we can attend the birth and the development of that idea to that point where at the end we really see that David was firmly established as the king of Israel and Judah and the plagues were no more. That's the end of the story. It is therefore a story which we all long to be ourselves. We too would like to see that our barren consciousness or our barren lives, perhaps a life that doesn't seem to have any purpose in it, any sense in it, that concept of life will be fruitful, and we must know how to attend the development and the birth of our true manhood until we feel we have purified it to that extent that it is no more in danger. So, do what we have done yesterday or the day before. Don't just interpret every verse and every little incident. Listen, say, within that whole part of mind, listen really what is always recurring and recurring so that you get the overall tone of mind. It will show, you see, for instance, in mind, it's quite interesting that it is actually showing the life of Samuel, because Samuel first is asked for by Hannah, and it gives you the story of Samuel, as little Samuel, when he was with the priest, and then up to the end of that passage where he gives an account of his reign, how he was ruling theocratically Israel, and then actually from that point on, really the Jonathan David story sets in. It is indicating therefore there that before something within us can unfold spiritually, we must first have that vision of mind. And therefore, within that range of mind, all those stories really give us a hint how we can nurture the vision of mind. What is necessary to do with our consciousness, with our mentality, with our desires, in order that our vision which we have is purified, that it is identified with principle, and that then really we feel that the individual government of that idea takes over until finally that idea is seen in its perfection. But it's only the vision of the prophet, Samuel. The story really of David has not yet set in, because David was again the child of Samuel's vision. Because Samuel did choose him. He did choose him in the tone of spirit by choosing no more the bodily greatest as a soul, but the spiritually tenderest, the David that was tending the sheep. You could see that that the vision of mind was then able really to choose the right king in all secrecy. And therefore we get that second big subject of spirit, and therefore you can see there in that second big subject how the spiritual qualities are brought out. Actually, you have there the qualities of the three degrees in it, the qualities of a soul that always failed then. He always numbered the people, he always chose the biggest men as warriors, the material big he has chosen. Then you have the qualities of the moral, of the Jonathan, that was always trying to serve the spiritual, but was vacillating constantly between David and Saul, never could really take a definite stand, because Jonathan afterwards went out with Saul into the war against David, though he was not against David. You can see it is that wavering state of the moral that never really wants to make a clear cut. And then you have the third degree represented by David, the qualities that are brought out through him in that period. So can you see what one has to do? It's not so much to interpret every little detail, if he did eat the honey or didn't eat the honey, if the gods were asleep or not asleep there and so on. You just have to go through the whole story and listen to the great tonality in it, what qualities were asked, what qualities were necessary for achieving something. Or if you go then through the whole part of soul, and you just listen to the tonality there, and you just listen what is always happening there. Is he always somewhere in the king's house, just sitting there quietly and watching how wonderful everything is? Or is he constantly fleeing? Is he constantly on the way from sense to soul? See, you get there a terrific sense of the passage from sense to soul, the same way as we have it in the 3,000-year period, that all the characters really in the Bible were constantly on the go, were constantly wandering through the wilderness, always trying to find the promised land, always hoping that they would find their definite identity where they were secure. So in that passage, you see that too in David. He was always persecuted. He was always fleeing through the wilderness, hiding himself in a cave and things like that. And then you must ask yourself, but what was it? These are usually the subtones. What was it that enabled him to be secure in spite of all the persecution? And you can see this is something which we have to know for our lives, because we can't expect that we are never persecuted, never misunderstood, never attacked. Because anybody who does anything that is worthwhile will always be opposed, will always be persecuted, will always be misunderstood. That's absolutely in the line of the law. Then you come to that fourth period, you see, where suddenly the whole thing changes, where David is no more constantly fleeing, but where now it was shown on what basis could government be established. And you have the two governments, the government of Saul and the government of David, and see how that government worked out so that the false government, Saul, was killed and the true government of David was established. He became king over Judah. Therefore, just listen there. What were the ideas that were ruling, were brought out to show why the one was leaning on a wrong foundation? What was his mentality that made him lean on a false foundation? What are false foundations? On the other side, David, who was leaning on true foundation, what were his true foundations? These are the questions we have to ask in order that these problems become very alive, every day is applicable. Yes? Then you come to the great period of life, where one has to see how David was always trying to do that which would support the kingdom, which would be constructive for the kingdom, that he tried to establish his kingdom and found his kingdom on a constructive idea and not on a destructive idea. Therefore, you can ask yourself there, what was the quality of consciousness that he had to entertain in order to be constructive and not destructive? There are those fine qualities then of supply, of that thy throne is established forevermore. Things like that come out, and then, therefore, then one has to ask, why was that promise given to him? What were the ruling ideas behind it? Not just saying, oh yes, now we see David that he does this and that and the other. This would be a historical interpretation of his life. You always have to ask for the underlying idea. And then when you come to that sixth period of truth, which is that wonderful period where it is shown how, in spite that we are immortal, that in spite that our mortal manhood can make all sorts of mistakes, that if we have the right attitude, that mortal consciousness can never really win, that the divine consciousness within us will take care of mortal consciousness, so that in spite of all the arguments of mortal consciousness, really the true manhood is brought out. It's that period really where David was always somehow making a few mistakes, and where his throne was always a bit wobbly, and Absalom was trying to take the throne. You see, it is a period where David is not shown as that man that was just that had just terrific dominion over the whole kingdom. It was a very wobbly dominion at that point. And this is so good, because our manhood is sometimes very wobbly too. We don't feel always in command of a situation and feel, oh, I can manage that, there is no danger, nothing can touch me. And where we too find out that we have made mistakes, and great mistakes perhaps, but to see that no mistake can really bring a downfall. Mistakes are not here to bring about the downfall. They are here that we can rise higher. And alone this insight from the David story that we can make good and evil our servant, that good and evil can be taken as an experience that brings us further, is alone worthwhile considering and taking in, and that we get a different conception of manhood. Especially as Christian Scientists, they always have a feeling that if they have made a mistake, if they have been thinking wrongly, that they must be punished for it, that they get it back full and plenty. Whereas we should see, no, that's not true. That's dualism in the best sense of the word. Why not see that all these things do happen? So because the Christ does not want any erroneous trait within us to live on forever. It wants that which is wrong within us comes to the surface and is shown up and is uncovered so that it can be annihilated. And we get a different approach to our life and to the mistakes we may make. Then in the last great subject of love, again we could read through that whole thing and see in which way the tone of love is brought out. And as we know, it must be brought out in many ways, because each subject has its 7 subtones and therefore will show the tone of love in a 7-fold way, therefore always a little bit in another tonality with another hue of soul. And so just make for yourself little notes, you know. Don't always write big sentences and whole articles on it. Just short epitomes, huh? Stichworte.
Captions.
Yeah. Just a few terms, you know, which indicate the tone that you want to bring out. And in this way you get an overall view of the whole thing.